We tend to think about history in terms of these grand battles, right?
Yeah.
Like big important rulers and stuff. But what about the stories that are kind of hidden away, like tucked away in places that seem, ordinary at first glance?
Right.
That's what we're doing today, diving into one of those places, Kirkdale,
Okay.
a small village in Yorkshire over in England. And you might be surprised to learn that during the Viking Age, between 793 and 1066 CE, Kirkdale, well, it wasn't the scene of chaos and destruction that you might picture when you think Vikings.
Right.
It was actually a place of, well, surprising resilience
Yeah.
and cultural fusion. And a lot of this story we learn from this remarkable artifact, a 1,000-year-old sundial.
Wow.
So, to help us dig into all this, we have with us, well, an expert.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'm happy to be here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So let's start with Kirkdale itself. What was so special about this seemingly insignificant village?
Well, one of the things that's so fascinating about Kirkdale is its location. It's situated on the edge of the moors and dales, which meant that it wasn't really a central target for Viking raids.
Okay.
So while other regions were facing these constant threats, Kirkdale actually experienced a period of relative peace.
Interesting.
And this allowed, really, for a very unique Anglo-Scandinavian culture to emerge.
So rather than, one culture completely wiping out or overtaking the other, it was more of a kind of a blending.
Exactly, precisely. It's a fusion, not just a replacement. And we can see evidence of this kind of fusion in all sorts of things, starting with the language.
Oh, interesting.
Many of the place names in and around Kirkdale, they come from Norse words, like dale itself, of
Yeah.
course, beck, which means stream, fell, which is a hill.
That's incredible. I mean, you're saying that the words spoken by what both Vikings and Anglo-Saxons are still part of the language today, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real testament to how these two cultures, how their interactions really shaped like the very fabric of English.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder what other ways did this cultural exchange manifest, What else can you tell us about the people of Kirkdale?
Well, one name in particular stands out, and that is Orm Gamelson.
Orm Gamelson.
Yeah, he was a powerful figure in Kirkdale, and he likely commissioned the rebuilding of the village church.
Okay.
Sometime around 1055
1055.
CE, this was after the original church was, we think, destroyed by fire.
Okay.
And it's actually thanks to Orm that we have this incredible window into their world, the Kirkdale sundial.
Let's talk about this sundial. What can you tell us about Orm and his connection to it?
Well, Orm Gamelson, like his name suggests, he was of Scandinavian descent.
Okay.
Remember how we were talking about the blending of cultures? Well,
Yeah.
Orm, he really embodies that.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, his name is Norse,
Right.
but he's this prominent figure in Anglo-Saxon England.
It really speaks volumes about how complex this period was, doesn't it?
That's
It's
right.
like this guy Orm, I mean, he challenges that simple narrative we always hear about, Vikings versus Anglo-Saxons.
Right.
Makes you wonder about his life. What did he believe? What was his world like?
Absolutely. And this is where the Kirkdale sundial and this intricate inscription on it, this is where it becomes so valuable. Okay. You see, because the inscription itself, it's actually in Old English,
Really?
which kind of suggests, a conscious choice to use the dominant language of that time.
Interesting.
However, as we've said, the names that are actually on the inscription, Orm, Brand the Priest, Howarth, the Craftsman, those are all Scandinavian names.
So they're using the language of the Anglo-Saxons, but they're holding on to their Scandinavian heritage through their name.
Exactly.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It really highlights how they were able to navigate and incorporate elements of both cultures and names during this time period. They held such deep
Oh,
significance.
yeah.
They weren't just labels, they reflected your lineage, your cultural ties, even obligations within the community.
It's like they're saying we're part of this community, but we haven't forgotten where we came from. This sundial is more than just a timepiece, isn't it? It's a statement, this testament to the complex realities of cultural identity during this time.
Precisely. And speaking of time, that brings us to another fascinating aspect of this Kirkdale sundial. Because this inscription, it's not just a list of names,
Okay.
it reveals a really intricate understanding of timekeeping, particularly in a religious context.
Okay, you've got to explain that.
Yeah.
We've gone from Vikings to a small village in Yorkshire to a 1,000-year-old sundial. What more could this artifact possibly tell us?
Well, to really understand its significance, we need to talk about something called Computus.
Computus. Okay, now that sounds pretty intense. What is that exactly?
So Computus was this complex science of calculating time.
Okay.
And it was crucial, absolutely crucial, for determining the date of Easter. Hugely important in the Christian calendar. And you have to remember, this is a time when the ability to accurately predict religious holidays, well, it was paramount.
So this sundial, it wasn't just about telling time for everyday purposes, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just to know when to milk the cows or plant the crops. It was about understanding time on a much grander scale.
Exactly.
The cycles of the moon, the movement of the sun, the very rhythm of the cosmos almost.
Yes. The sundial, it was positioned very prominently over the doorway of the church, visible to everyone who came in. It wasn't just a timekeeper. It was a symbol of their faith. A reminder of this intricate workings of God's universe.
Wow. It makes you wonder what it must have been like for those people back then, the people of Kirkdale, to see that sundial every day. Did they ponder the vastness of time? Did it make them reflect on their own place in the grand scheme of things?
It's a question worth considering, isn't it? And it leads us to another intriguing possibility. Because remember, this was a period just after the first millennium, a time when people, they were particularly anxious about the end of the world, about Judgment Day.
So for these people, the people of Kirkdale, I mean, they're already living through this time of huge change and uncertainty.
Right.
The sundial, for them, it takes on an even deeper meaning.
Precisely. Imagine every time you walk into church, you see this sundial, this constant reminder not only of the passage of time, but of the impending last judgment. It adds a whole other dimension to how we understand their worldview, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think we often think of sundials as these simple, even primitive devices. But the Kirkdale sundial, it's anything but. It's this sophisticated instrument, it's a work of art, and this powerful symbol all rolled into one.
But what about the rest of the village? I mean, the sundial gives us this glimpse into the life of Orm Gamelson and the elite of Kirkdale. But what about everyday life for ordinary people?
Thankfully, we do have a resource that can give us a glimpse into that.
Okay.
The Doomsday Book. The Doomsday Book. Now, for anyone listening who might not be familiar with it, it's basically like this giant census of England that was put together just after the Norman Conquest.
Right, yeah.
It's like this incredible resource for historians, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. It gives us this remarkable snapshot of life in England just before the Normans came knocking. And, well, Kirkdale is no exception.
Okay.
What's fascinating is, you know, even in the midst of all these major historical events, Viking raids, you know, the blending of these two cultures, and, of course, the Norman Conquest looming on the horizon.
Right.
The Doomsday Book, it reminds us that life went on even in a place like Kirkdale.
So what kind of details does the Doomsday Book actually reveal about Kirkdale? Can we really, like, I don't know, connect with the lives of actual people from over 1,000 years ago just by looking at this document?
I think we can certainly try. What we know is, according to the Doomsday Book, Kirkdale was home to 10 villagers.
Ten
villagers.
Oh.
A priest, most likely Brand, whose name we see on the sundial, and intriguingly, a mill.
Just 10 villagers. That really gives you a sense of this small, tight-knit community, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And a mill, I mean, that suggests they were pretty resourceful.
Right.
Right? Able to harness the power of nature to, well, I guess, to sustain themselves.
Precisely. And if we, you know, we dig a little deeper, use some archaeological evidence along with what we get from the Doomsday Book, we can actually see traces of their agricultural practices.
Okay.
Like these ridge and furrow patterns in the land, which are, believe it or not, still visible in some areas. Oh, yeah, they're faint, but they're there. These people, they weren't just passively living in this landscape. They were shaping it, making it their own.
It's amazing to think that these faint ridges and furrows, they're like echoes of these people's everyday lives, you know? Their connection to the land, it really humanizes history. You know what I mean? These weren't just like names in a book or figures from some distant past. They were people with, you know, hopes and fears and dreams, just like us.
Exactly. And I think it's through understanding these seemingly ordinary details, the names on a sundial, the things we see in a census, you know, these traces of old farming techniques, that we can really start to appreciate the complexity, the richness of history.
Makes you realize that history isn't just about, you know, kings and queens and battles and conquests. It's about the resilience of communities like Kirkdale, the way cultures blend together, the power of faith, and even, you know, something as simple as carving a sundial into the wall of a church as a testament to something, well, something much bigger than themselves.
Beautifully said. Kirkdale, it might seem, you know, like a small, insignificant place on a map, but I think, as we've seen, its story is anything but insignificant. It's this microcosm of a truly fascinating period of history, a place where we can see how cultural exchange has a real and lasting impact, the ingenuity of everyday people, how adaptable they were, and the power of these, you know, objects to connect us across centuries.
So the next time you're in a place, and maybe it seems kind of, I don't know, ordinary, remember Kirkdale? Remember Orm Gamelson and his incredible sundial? Remember that beneath the surface, you know, every village, every town, every city, there are stories, stories waiting to be told, stories that challenge how we think about the past and will, I think, connect us to what it means to be human.
You know, you might even feel inspired to do a little digging of your own, because every deep dive, it just leads to more questions, more discoveries, and a deeper understanding of the world around us.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the Anglo-Scandinavian world of Kirkdale. Be sure to check out the show notes for, well, you know, further reading and resources if you want to keep exploring this amazing period of history. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and, well, keep diving deep.